This is Akashvani. In the weekly program, Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on the life and times of Dr. Manmohan Singh. The participants are A.K. Bhattacharya, economic analyst, and Shishir Sinha, senior journalist.
Former Prime Minister and architect of modern Indian economy, Dr. Manmohan Singh passed away late on December 26. He will always be remembered to bringing Indian economy from very precarious situation to a developing nation. Let us listen to what Prime Minister Narendra Modi said while praising him at his farewell from Rajya Sabha.
Dr. Manmohan Singh ji wheelchair mein aaye, vote kiya, ek sansad apne daitva ke liye kitna sajag hai. Sawal ye nahi hai ki wo kisko taakat dene ke liye aaye the. Main manta hoon. वो लोकतंत्र को ताकत देने आए. जब भी हमारे लोकतंत्र की चर्चा होगी तो कुछ माननीय सदस्यों की जो चर्चा होगी उसमें माननीय डॉक्टर मनमोहन सिंह की योगदान की चर्चा जरूर.
टू टॉक अबाउट डॉक्टर मनमोहन सिंह जर्नी हिज लाइफ आई एम जॉइंड बाय इकोनॉमिक एनालिस्ट A.K. Bhattacharya. मिस्टर Bhattacharya, यू हैव सीन डॉक्टर मनमोहन सिंह एज द ब्यूरोक्रेट, एज द RBI गवर्नर, एज द फाइनेंस मिनिस्टर, एज द प्राइम मिनिस्टर. What is the most important thing which you have observed in his journey from a bureaucrat to the Prime Minister?
The way I have seen Dr. Manmohan Singh evolve over the years is a fantastic evolution of a great mind. So I describe it as the three avatars of the same person. The first avatar, the incarnation of Manmohan Singh, was as a technocrat from 1971 to 1990. And that is when he was performing the role of economic advisor in the Commerce Ministry. He was playing the role of chief economic advisor in the Finance Ministry. Later on, as the Economic Affairs Secretary, then he went on to become the Member Secretary of the Planning Commission to frame the sixth plan document. And then he was moved to Reserve Bank of India as the governor. And then he decided to go to South Commission to be the Secretary General and prepared a document that laid the foundations of what we call the South-South cooperation, the Global South Agenda of today. So his journey in this as the first avatar was giving shape to the ideas and the vision of economic policy making at that time by the prevailing governments. In 1991, he starts his second avatar, and the second avatar is that of as the finance minister. Therein, he takes charge of the economic policy making, of course, with full support from his prime minister, Mr. P.V. Narasimha Rao, and a very able team that he had, whether it was Mr. A.N. Verma in the prime minister's office, or whether it was the many bureaucrats that he had built as a team in the finance ministry. So he actually played the role of a great orchestra conductor in his second avatar and implemented some of the most difficult economic reforms in that phase to bail and rescue the economy out of its twin problem of fiscal indiscipline and a balance of payments crisis. That was the second avatar, the second phase of Manmohan Singh. And then we saw the third phase. And in the third phase, he has the avatar of the prime minister. And in the first 5 years of that tenure, he was instrumental to introduce many rights-based policies, right to work, right to information, right to food. All those policies he introduced. Along with that, he showed his independence of mind by introducing new element in India's foreign policy by forging India-US civil nuclear deal. A deal which did not enjoy the full support of his party, even his own government. But he went ahead and charted India on a different trajectory altogether. That was his first 5 years. In the second 5 years, his economic reforms program slowed down. The economy slowed down a bit. Current account deficit widened. Growth slowed down. Inflation was in double digits in many years. And then, of course, there was unfortunate corruption charges against the government, whether it was a 2G scam or whether it was the coal block allocation scam. And then, of course, there was the impact of the North Atlantic financial crisis on the government. So his third avatar was the first 5 years. He did very well. But in the second 5 years, I thought he was impacted by adverse global situation and also adverse domestic political situation and the corruption charges.
Okay.
So this is the way I see the evolution of Dr. Manmohan Singh from a bureaucrat who would be effectively implementing the policies of his political masters. The second phase, he will be steering the reform program, although they were very low-hanging fruit, but he did implement them with great gusto and great commitment. He laid the foundation for the financial sector reforms. He laid the foundation of fiscal consolidation programs like doing away with the ad hoc treasury bill system.
Mm-hmm.
So you name anything, whether it's devaluation to make sure that the Indian exporters become more competitive and the Indians actually have the option of enjoying the benefit of better exchange rate. So in every respect, Dr. Singh actually rewrote the economic laws. He delicensed almost 78 industries, leaving only 18 in the license category. He broke the public sector monopoly over economic activities. He completely abolished the Monopolies and Restricted Trade Practices Act to the extent that there was no curb. There were no curbs on expansion of growth. So economic laws wore a different look and prepared the ground for India's economic growth in the succeeding decades. But as the Prime Minister in his third avatar, he played a different role. He did not enjoy the benefit of a team that he had as a Finance Minister. That was probably his different style of functioning. So this is the way I would like to evaluate and outline the journey of Dr. Manmohan Singh.
Let us listen what Dr. Manmohan Singh had to say before demitting office as the Prime Minister of India.
प्यारे देशवासियों, आज मैं आपको प्रधानमंत्री के रूप में आखिरी बात संबोधित कर रहा हूं। 10 साल पहले इस जिम्मेदारी को संभालते वक्त मैंने अपनी पूरी मेहनत से काम करने और सच्चाई के रास्ते पर चलने का निश्चय किया था। मेरी ईश्वर से प्रार्थना थी कि मैं हमेशा सही काम करूं। आज जब प्रधानमंत्री का पद छोड़ने का वक्त आ गया है, मुझे एहसास है कि ईश्वर के अंतिम निर्णय से पहले सभी चुने गए प्रतिनिधियों और सरकारों के काम पर जनता की अदालत भी फैसला करती है। मेरे प्यारे देशवासियों, आपने जो फैसला दिया है, हम सभी को उसका सम्मान करना चाहिए। इन लोकसभा चुनाव से हमारी लोकतांत्रिक व्यवस्था की जड़ें मजबूत हुई हैं।
Mr. Bhattacharya, one thing which I would like to highlight here, which was the concluding part of his first budget in 91-92, when he said, "No power on earth can stop an idea whose time has come." This is a famous quote by Victor Hugo. So what exactly the meaning he wanted to, or what exactly the message he wanted to give at that time, considering the entire economy was in shambles and we were looking for an uncertain future?
Well, you know, you have to trace it back to the manner in which Dr. Manmohan Singh was inducted into the Union Council of Ministers of the Union Cabinet and head the Finance Ministry by Narasimha Rao. Dr. Manmohan Singh was a reluctant entrant into politics in the sense that when P.C. Alexander first informed him about Prime Minister Rao's desire to have him in the cabinet to be the finance minister, he did not take that very, very seriously. He, as a matter of fact, the next day, when the day of the oath taking in Rashtrapati Bhavan, he was attending his office at UGC, where he was the chairman. He was the chairman of the University Grants Commission at that time. So till he got a call from the Prime Minister asking him that, has he been informed that the government wants him to be the finance minister? And it is then that the penny dropped for him. And Dr. Manmohan Singh decided to go home and get ready and join the oath-taking ceremony at Ashoka Hall. Even while he took oath, and the first thing that he did was he called a meeting of senior bureaucrats across different economic ministries. And the message that he gave out there is that the shibboleths of the past will be discarded, and the country will have to look ahead with a new vision, different economic policy perspective, so that country can extricate itself out of the deep economic crisis that it was in. So what he did say at the end of his first budget speech was reflecting that resolve of his, that he wanted to take bold decisions And he prepared his bureaucratic team to be in line with that thinking. And his budget speech was also aimed at telling the nation that here he was on a path of bold economic reforms, which were needed so that the country can move forward and should not become like many Latin American countries those days, when they would just collapse under the double weight of fiscal indiscipline and balance of payments crisis.
Okay. Let us listen to the key highlights of his 1991 budget speech.
This budget represents a contribution to the successful implementation of this great national enterprise of building an India free from the fear of war, want and exploitation, an India worthy of the dreams of the founding fathers of our republic. We shall pay any price, bear any burden, make any sacrifice to realize those dreams. India is on the move again. We shall make the future happen. Sir, I have come to the end of my labor. Tonight, I feel like going to the theater. Let the assassins be informed. I am prepared to meet their onslaughts. As the poet said, Sar Faroshi ki tamanna ab hamare dil mein hai, dekhna hai zor kitna bazu-e qatil mein hai. I commend the budget for this August.
Mr. Bhattacharya, one more thing which is very important in his first budget, in fact, that we call as the summer of 1991, when so many things happened, starting from devaluation to opening up the economy. But that decision about the FDI, I think in the first budget, talking about liberalizing the FDI in a very conservative economic society, was it so easy or was it a very, very, what you can say, thoughtful process in that?
I'm glad you have asked this question. In many ways, it was a very, very bold decision, but it was also an easy decision because if you did not take those decisions, then there was no other option. India's foreign exchange reserves had come down so low that we could meet only about weeks' imports. So that was the level of it, came down to almost $1 billion. Now, consider forex reserve situation of today's $700 billion. And at that time, it was $1 billion. So what was the option Dr. Manmohan Singh had? He had to ship gold for the second time so that he could get some foreign exchange. And then he devalued the currency. And also he gave incentives to exporters that they can keep 60% of foreign exchange earnings in market determined rates. And 40% of the foreign exchange earnings could be exchanged to in official rate.
So that was the partial convertibility you are talking about.
That was the partial convertibility, 60-40 ratio, it was done.
But within a year, he has to take back that decision. Did it surprise you?
No, the question is that it, of course, surprised most of us. For example, he abolished what is called an export subsidy scheme. Mm-hmm. For it was something called a cash compensatory support. Mm-hmm. We used to call it CCS. You know, those days we were reporting on these issues, and cash compensatory support was a discretionary system decided by the government bureaucrats on which item will get how much support if they are exported. Now, Manmohan Singh, in one evening's meeting on 3rd July, if I remember correctly, 1991, this is about a week or 15 days before the budget was presented, he abolished cash compensatory support and said, instead of that, I'm going to allow you to exchange your dollars at a rate which is in the market determined rate, okay. 60% of your earnings. Mm-hmm. So the exporters were thrilled. So therefore, he had great faith in the Indian entrepreneurship. He used to believe that his policies would unleash the animal spirit of Indian industry. And what is more important is that he held regular consultation with Indian industry leaders. And he wanted the Indian industry leaders to be part and parcel of this entire exercise of liberalizing the Indian economy so that the benefits of these reforms flow down to the people of this country.
Mr. Bhattacharya, two more things. When the gold were shipped out of country in 1991, it was criticized like anything. But within 3 years, I think on the floor of the House as a part of the budget speech, Dr. Manmohan Singh announced that the gold which we placed out is back in the country. If I understand correctly, and if I can remember correctly, that was not just only one tranche of gold which was placed out. It was two tranches of the gold, one from the SBI vault and the another one from the RBI. So if he was talking about that the gold which we have placed out has come back, was he talking about the RBI thing or was he also talking about the SBI thing?
there were two sets of shipments. One was to the Union Bank of Switzerland. It was 28 tons of gold. That was SBI's confiscated gold. That went. And then there was another round of similar amount from the RBI vaults. It was sent to Bank of England. I still remember one of the first interviews that he gave after becoming the finance minister. I was lucky to have interviewed him. And I asked him that, what will you do with that gold? Mm-hmm. And his prompt response was that Indian women don't like their gold to be mortgaged abroad. Mm-hmm. As soon as possible, I would like to bring that gold that has been shipped abroad back into the country. Now, the point Dr. Manmohan Singh made was that he knew the Indians' sensitivity to gold. So he realized that as an economist, yes, gold coming back or being shipped abroad is not that big an issue. But for Indian psyche, the gold being shipped abroad was a major setback of sorts. So he said, as soon as possible, I will try to bring the gold back, which is what he announced in his next budget or so, or in the middle of it, that I am bringing back the entire gold. That's because he knew that it is as important to design good reform, but it is equally important to execute those reforms. He is to say that designing reform is science, but executing reform is an art. Oh. And that art means you need to understand the political economy of the country and the sensitivities of the country, which is why he raised fertilizer prices by a certain percentage points when there was a political resistance. Of course, he protested internally, and even there were reports that he may have quit. But at the end of the day, he agreed to a lower extent of the increase in fertilizer prices. And he accepted that because he realized that two steps forward and one step backward still means that you are one step forward. So this is his deep understanding, the gradualism that he believed in. And he believed in that Bismarck's famous saying that politics is the art of the possible. He really implemented that in his 5 years as a finance minister, which is a thing that when he became the prime minister, he did not explore that his adage of the art of the possible as much as he could have.
Mr. Bhattacharya, one more thing which I can remember during the budget when he talked about that bringing that gold or gold has come back. He also said that we are going to make prepayment to the loan which we took from the IMF. And that's an entire amount of more than 1 billion, if I can remember correctly, that he announced on the floor of the house that is going to give it back to the IMF. I believe that was one of the very strong messages to the international community that we are not going to just living on the borrowed money, but rather we would like to return you back and progress accordingly.
You are right. This was a message not just to the international community. It was a message also to the political community in India. Remember that Narasimha Rao had not yet got a full majority in the house. It was a coalition government and the left parties were supporting it. Nobody liked the idea that India has taken a loan from IMF. And there were also controversies and protests that probably under pressure from the IMF and the World Bank, Manmohan Singh had been framing his economic policies to please them. So I think he wanted to convey, and this is also part of his political management. So I think he was not just a good economic policy reformer, but he also understood the importance of political management or the political economy management. Remember that even Indira Gandhi government in 1981, they took a $5 billion IMF loan, extended fund facility loan. That loan was also returned midway, and to show that we are not a country that will always remain dependent on IMF money. So there is a mix of all that. It sends a positive message to the international investing community. It also sends a message of independence to the domestic political classes.
Okay, so he graduated from a technocrat to a hardcore politico-economic manager. Now I'm going to 2008. When 2008 global crisis took place, and if I can remember correctly, in 2009, for a brief period, he came back to finance minister. He took charge of the finance minister. What was the thinking behind that? I mean, at that time, Mr. Chidambaram was finance minister. And then all of a sudden, in month of November, if I recall correctly, in 2008, he took the additional charge of the finance minister. What was the thinking behind that?
It was a crisis because you will remember that on 26th of November, there were terrorist attacks in Bombay hotels and everything. And the Home Minister was found wanting in his job. And the UPA government decided to change its home minister. Mr. Shivraj Patil was the home minister then. So there was a sudden reshuffle. It was to send out a message to Mr. Shivraj Patil that he did not do well as a home minister in protecting the government's, the country's national security. So he was shifted, and who came in? The finance minister, Mr. Palanivelu Chidambaram, became the home minister. So there was a vacancy in the finance ministry. And instead of having somebody else, Manmohan Singh decided that he would step into the shoes of the finance minister and address some of the concerns that arose out of the North Atlantic financial crisis. So therefore, the moment he came in, he announced a package of measures, fiscal stimulus measures of reducing duties so that demand can be revived. So he was back into his old elements as the finance minister, which was, of course, his additional charge for him. But he was doing that. He announced the first stimulus. Then he also announced the second stimulus in January. But unfortunately, he fell sick. He had to go through coronary bypass surgery. So on 24th of January, he had to go in for the surgery. And he brought in Mr. Pranab Mukherjee as an interim finance minister to present the interim budget. But after the 2009 general elections, he continued to keep Mr. Pranab Mukherjee as the finance minister, a decision that many people feel that probably led to many problems in terms of the retrospective tax problem that Pranab Mukherjee had introduced. And also the management of the economy was not that astute. As I told you earlier, that those 5 years under the UPA government, and the inflation rate went up, fiscal deficit was not coming under control, current account deficit was also widening. So all those problems started accumulating. And also the banking sector was getting the heat of sorts because their non-performing assets were rising. So all those issues were accumulating. And therefore, Manmohan Singh's brief stint as the finance minister came as a kind of a relief for the managers of the economy. But soon after, Pranab Mukherjee came in as became the finance minister.
So it was also a blessing in disguise at this moment when Shivraj Singh was sifted out and he took over as the additional charge of the finance ministry. Now coming to the another important part, which is 2009 to 2014, when the political management appears to be more prominent over the economic management, and we saw more political face of Dr. Manmohan Singh. As you rightly mentioned in the beginning itself, that the third avatar, that the third term as a politician, second term as the prime minister, was a very difficult kind of phase for him. So during that third phase, do you think that the economy was, or economic policy was, something which was somehow missing out from his agenda?
No, I think economic policy, there was no crisis in the first 5 years of the UPA under Manmohan Singh. The Indian economy was growing rapidly. The growth, annual growth rates were clocking at around 8%, 7.9%. In 1 year, it was 8.1% even. So Indian economy was doing well. So there was no urgent need for reforms. What was needed at that time was that the government should have gone for second generation reforms. But as I told you earlier, the appetite for those second generation reforms was very, very low. And then there was the banking sector problem. Of course, rights-based policies of right to work and right to information and right to food, they all came in. The introduction of Aadhaar, the biometrics-based identity system based on which the benefit transfer schemes were framed, they were introduced. So all those policies were announced and introduced by Manmohan Singh's government at that time. But the larger issue is that the economy, thanks to some extent, the various charges of the so-called 2G scam, the coal block allocation scam, nothing finally came of them. But at that time, the government's efficiency level came down. There was the policy paralysis of sorts. So the second stint in the third avatar of Manmohan Singh, the 5 years, was slightly problematic in that sense. Instead of going in for the second generation of reforms, the government of Manmohan Singh was happy with those rights-based policies, Aadhaar basis, and much-needed labor policy reforms. The land reform actually went the other way. The land acquisition norms were made more strict. There was no agricultural reforms. So all those issues were kept pending. And as I say, that the low-hanging fruit of reforms were plucked by Manmohan Singh as the finance minister. But when Manmohan Singh became the prime minister, he didn't have that appetite for going and plucking those difficult reforms.
Mr. Bhattacharya, in 2021, when India was celebrating 30 years of liberalization, I will again quote what he said in his statement that as finance minister in 1991, I ended my budget speech by quoting Victor Hugo, "No power on earth can stop an idea whose time has come." 30 years later, as a nation, we must remember Robert Frost's poem, "What I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep." Do you think that he kept all his promises?
Well, rare is the leader who can claim that he has fulfilled and kept all his promises. All leaders should be known by the kind of vision that they create, kind of goals that they set. And Dr. Manmohan Singh was also one of those leaders who set goals that were really ambitious. And of course, he achieved many of them. But it is reasonable to expect that he would not achieve all of them. So that is what exactly has happened. So that is why he quoted Robert Frost, the famous poem, "When woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have miles to go and miles to go before I sleep." And that's the beauty and also the greatness of leaders like Dr. Manmohan Singh.
Just one more question. If you have to sum up his personality in just say two or three big statements, what could be that?
Temperamentally a shy person, but deeply respectful of others' feelings and sensibilities. In that extent, he is a true democrat who would respect others, because democracy is not just about forming the government of the people, by the people, for the people, but democracy is also about respecting others and taking on board dissent and differences of opinion. And Manmohan Singh was one of those leaders who believed in this credo of respecting others' views.
President Draupadi Murmu, Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Vice President Jagdeep Dhankar led the nation to pay tribute to Dr. Manmohan Singh. Now listen to what PM Modi has to say about Dr. Manmohan Singh in his condolence message.
Purva Pradhanmantri Dr. Manmohan Singh ji ke nidhan ne hum sabhi ke hruday ko gehri peeda pahunchayi hai. Unka jana ek rashtra ke roop mein bhi hamare liye bahut badi kshati hai. विभाजन के उस दौर में बहुत कुछ खोकर भारत आना और यहाँ जीवन के हर क्षेत्र में उपलब्धियां हासिल करना ये सामान्य बात नहीं है. अभावों और संघर्षों से ऊपर उठकर कैसे ऊंचाइयों को हासिल किया जा सकता है, उनका जीवन ये सीख भावी पीढ़ी को देता रहेगा.
सीनियर कांग्रेस लीडर सोनिया गांधी सेड इन हर कंडोलेंस मैसेज दैट he was a friend, philosopher, and guide.
You were listening to a discussion on the life and times of Dr. Manmohan Singh. The participants were A.K. Bhattacharya, economic analyst, and Shishir Sinha, senior journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.